You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. Well, welcome. As the music finishes playing there, I'm going to jump right in.
Boy, you're getting exciting better music on those drums.
Yeah. You know, that maybe I need to go to the drums. You haven't been too successful on the guitar and the banjo, but just had, you know, I told my teacher, I kind of took a break from all that, but I said, you know, Jerry, I don't have any talent.
maybe you ought to just stick to the radio.
Maybe you stick. Yeah, I can play the radio pretty good. Radio, yeah. Well, speaking of the radio, and we're going to in a moment introduce our guests today, whom many of you know, and will be enjoying this hour of hearing from them again. I have to introduce my co-host, who is here. Now, Ann can't be here. She's doing ministry, and we praise God for that.
Amen.
But Ed Skiba, my big brother.
I have to introduce. It's an obligation. If you don't, he'll get mad.
Yeah, right.
No,
yeah,
won't.
You hardly ever get mad.
Let me get this out of the way.
Yeah, well, okay. No, it's part of my joy.
I know.
To introduce you guys. You. Yeah.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
Amen.
Mm. Isn't it, boy.
Yes, it is.
I'll tell you, I can't believe it. I went down and I bought two new sun shovels.
Yeah, sure, right.
My brother called me from Jersey, said he's got a new a snow blower. So I said, okay, I'll go down and get a sun shovel.
There you go.
Yeah. And I guess they're going to be needing that equipment this week, tomorrow, when things really get bad.
I pray for those folks up there.
Well, you know, we ought to. Well, Ed, why don't you pray for the people in the swath of this winter storm?
The swath. Yeah. I've never done a swath prayer before.
Oh, I trust the Spirit of God to guide you. Lord,
Father, we thank you for humor that lightens our spirits and our souls.
Yes,
Lord, we ask you to protect the folks that all of our brothers and sisters, believers or not, all of them that are in the path of this storm.
Yes,
we know it's just part of life and it's just something that happens and people want to say, look what God caused, but we know you don't cause things like that. You created this world with certain rules, and the rules of nature are what has caused this. And Lord, help the people cope with it. Help them deal with it. Mm. We ask you that no lives be put in danger, that no emergency service workers be harmed in trying to protect the people that are being affected by the storm. Lord, just give them a peace to know that you're in control and that everything will be okay. Father, just bless everyone in that path. It's a 2,200-mile-long storm, and there's a lot of people affected. Mm-hmm. But, Lord, you affect everything that ever happens to us, and we know that. And you especially love your people and protect us. So we ask your blessing over them right now. Be with them, and let them have the confidence to know that you're in control. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Amen.
And I'm just going to leap on over and introduce our guests for today. I said to a listener, you know, earlier that you recognize the names, and we're so blessed to have Stevie and Peggy Suglia back again with us.
Amen.
And Stevie's Heart, the first book that you wrote that about your own story, about God healing you.
Right.
Tremendous story of healing.
Right.
And I'm going to ask you in a minute just to give us a synopsis of that book. And then we had you back because you have two poetry books out there.
Correct.
And those we covered, try to cover those in an hour, you know, but to encourage our listeners to engage with those books. And today we have another book. I think, Stevie, we need to ask God to open up like 1 hour a week here. Where you could be on there to tell us about your new books, but
you know, before he does, could I interject something?
Why you just did,
Stevie? Very very observant, yeah, right. David. Stevie wrote a book of Christmas poetry,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was a poem for Christmas Eve, And in my little congregation, I used that as an opening for my Christmas Eve service.
Oh, really?
And it went over so well. People just absolutely
loved
it.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You know, and ahead of all of this, Stevie, I need to say that, you know, I have this is a great position. I'm enjoying this ministry, and because I meet a lot of cool people, God's people, and people of great ministry giftings, using them, being faithful, and you're certainly one of those people. And you, Peggy, I can't exclude you, because he wouldn't be who he is if you weren't who you are.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we often forget the ladies in our lives, our wives, the helpmeets who help us, you know. And so when we talk about the fruit of Stevie's ministry, we have to know that you have been helping that fruit to grow and to develop. And he looks to you for your love and guidance and the care, only caring you can do. So let us not ignore Christian wives.
Amen.
No. My
Amen.
Wife is a tremendous gift
you
to me.
You make them sound like fertilizer.
Only Ed. Wait a minute. Oh. I don't know if I can go on.
I'm sorry. You know, I have a problem with that. This gateway between my mind and my mouth. It keeps swinging open. Yeah.
Well, we do know laughter is a good medicine. It's from Amen. The Lord, so we're going to claim that. And Stevie, so far we've covered three books that you've written. Stevie's Heart, and then there's two poetry books. One Ed referred to.
That's your Christmas blessing.
Amen.
But what I was going to say, and this book that we're going to talk about today, A Song in My Heart, When Jesus Speaks Through Music, is that what I found the characteristic in all your books, Stevie, for instance, I'm going to go to the poetry books because that's where it really leaped out at me. I mean, your poetry is from the heart, and it's from the heart of God. Mm-hmm. Anyone that reads that begins to see that that's where it's coming from. And because of that, every poem in those two books, if you look at it as God speaking to you through the work of Stevie, and that draws you right into the throne room of God, right into a place of prayer, so that your work, Stevie, inspires prayer and meditation.
Yes.
And I know you know that, so that the new book will eventually get to talking about does the same thing, but it has a different venue, and that's music and how we look at music.
Right.
So we'll get to that in a minute. But remind our listeners about Stevie's Heart and what got you going on that.
All right. Stevie's Heart has had to deal with, as you know, a true story. Mm-hmm. Back on September 11, 2024, I had a diagnosed, well, I was sent to the hospital with a torn aorta.
Mm-hmm.
And doctors told me I only had 20% chance of living past the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. You know, I went through that. In the book, I tell about my 5 days in an induced coma, how friends and family were there. My pastor was there to pray for me to get through it. Through all that, I had seen Jesus.
Mm.
He was in the operating room, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
He was the 6'4".
I mean, big guy.
Out the hair, big guy, the flowing hair, the bright white robe, a glow around his face, something I've never seen before. So Jesus, I was going to be healed after I was stitched up and everything. Jesus has placed his hand on my heart and said, you're going to be healed, not to worry. And he was telling everybody, telling my wife I was going to be a miracle. In fact, that was confirmed from my pastor, because he had prayed for me, and Jesus had hugged him, and then Pastor Todd had told Peggy he's going to be a miracle. But through the course of several months or whatever, I had kept a journal as to what happened. My best friend had suggested it, my best friend Tom. He said, keep a journal. You never know. You may want to give a talk at a church or whatever. I had no idea I would be an author. Sure enough, that became that came to pass. The book, as you know, was published in July of last year. You guys had me on the air to talk about the book, and but that's how that book came.
And I would just say to our listeners, that's a very powerful story of God moving in Stevie's life to totally heal him from the edge of death, literally dragging him back from the precipice of death, because he's not done with you yet, Stevie. And I like, of course, any testimony like that, receive it on several levels. One is, praise God for what he did for you.
Right.
And then you also include all the people who love and care for you. That was a blessing that drew them together. And when God moved in such a powerful way, what a tremendous witness that of God's love for you. But, you know, we all know that God, you're not special and the only person God heals. Your story, though, your personal story, reminds people that we serve a loving, healing God.
Yes.
God, a powerful God who brings healing in the lives of his people.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's an encouragement for the reader. Maybe their life is, maybe their struggles aren't as great as yours was that time. But God doesn't care the strength of our struggles. He wants us to invite him to come in so he can pour out the riches of his grace into our lives. And that's your faithfulness.
That's
You're a human being. I'm a human being. God knows what he was getting into when he took us in.
Amen.
You know, he knew that, they're human and all, but I love him and I'm going to bless him. And so that's what he's done for you. But it's also an encouragement for the reader.
Yeah.
And for those. On that reason alone is a good reason to buy the book. So it's Stevie's Heart, and it's available.
It's available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Barnes and Noble. Yep. And the other.
It's on my coffee table.
Is it on your. It's on Ed's coffee table.
What's it doing there? You have to read it.
Oh, that's why I read it.
Because he drinks a lot of coffee.
Ah, okay.
He's got to have a table just for that. But in the other two books now, the two books of poetry. What are the titles again?
Where Love Dwells, Verses of Faith, Family, and Friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was A Christmas Book, Blessings, which which Ed used at one of his services.
Yep,
that's right. And
I think you read one poem
I
touched
did.
Your heart.
Well, they all in
Christmas
a way touched
smiles
my heart, but that one particularly.
With family spread across the country.
Yeah. And I, you know, this is... Maybe some people are asking, well, why? Maybe you don't read poetry. I mean, there's some people that don't,
right?
You know, and they don't read poetry. And so I want to talk to you for a minute.
Okay.
I'm not, by you, I mean the listener who doesn't read poetry, because I'm saying, okay, I'm not chastising you at all. You know, everybody has different interests in what they read. What I will say about Stevie's work, and it's, you know, it would apply to any godly person that communicates, writes in that way, where the poetry is a very specific form of literature, and it carries, it enables in a way, it's a vehicle for a tremendous expression of spiritual truth,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which you use, which that works out through your. But what I say is that it's my belief, and I've tried to address this in my own life, that as a believer, I should look at any avenue that's going to get me closer to God. Reading the word is number one, right? Getting into the Bible is number one.
Yep.
But there are other things that people have done that when I read them, I can also get closer to God because of that medium. I'll never forget the first time, it wasn't poetry per se, but I read a book, it was Praying the Psalms. Now the Psalms are poetry. And they were music, lyrics too, you know, in that.
Right.
Yes.
And I had never thought of that, but I was on a spiritual retreat. I was out pretty much in the middle of nowhere, and they had a bookstore there, and I bought this book, and I was enthralled because I had never thought about that. But the book had specific psalms the author was showing us. But then after I read the book, and I said, "Well, gosh, you know, I can do this myself. I can go into the Psalms and I can read them, and pray them."
Mm-hmm.
So. And I say this as a bridge to talk about the book we're going to be dealing with today, Stevie, which is a song in my heart when Jesus speaks through music. And it is a book. Now, Stevie, before we get into the book, you're a DJ. I mean, that's one of the things that's a musical ministry that you have.
Correct. I've been doing it for over 30 years.
30 years. So your music is a big part of your life.
Right.
And Christian music especially is, that's what you play. And
that's right.
You present that. And just tell us, before we get into the book itself, but tell us, how in particular does music bless you?
Music blesses me, not just listening to a song with its beat or lyrics. What I learned was how Jesus touches my heart and reaches me as to what the songs are about, which you're going to see in the book. You've read a part of it already anyway. Yeah. Some of the songs in that book you wouldn't think would be on the level that I'm going to be talking about. Some of them are like from Supertramp, the Logical song, and a few others. Celebration is like a party song, but it's more than that. You're celebrating Jesus and all. But getting back, I'm get off track, but that's my wife and I always get off track. Let's see, what led me to music? Is that?
Well, what is it about music? How do you perceive that music blesses you? I mean, when you're experiencing music, what's happening inside of your spirit?
It's a ministry. Yeah, it's a deep ministry of mine. When I started this DJ business, I said, Lord, I want people to experience not just dancing and having a good time, but I need to spread your word. Provide me with the right songs. And that's what he's done.
Amen.
Clean songs. Hey, we can all have fun. You know, Jesus was at a wedding. He had fun.
Yep. Yeah, sure.
So why can't we have fun? But that's basically, I get blessed listening to a song. I could hear it on the radio or even on my phone and say, wow, that song is leading me to this Sunday service or last Sunday service at church or whatever. I mean, I'm just blessed to be given that, I don't want to be egotistical, but that gift to understand what the songs are about.
I've got a thought on that. You know, you ever have a song go through your head and you couldn't get that out?
Many times.
Really?
Yeah. Commercials especially.
Yeah. The jingle.
If you take scripture and take the foundational word of scripture and put it to music and give it a lyrical lilt, it'll get into people's spirit
the same way.
And the same way that those commercials invade us. And it'll be something that'll get deeply ingrained in their soul.
Yeah.
You know, it's an excellent way. David knew it was an excellent way of worship. Yeah. I mean, he was the psalmist.
Yeah. You know? Well, you're talking about jingles, right?
Yeah, jingles. Yeah.
One of the songs in that book is a jingle from a Coke commercial. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's
my point.
Now you're going to get stuck, man. That song's going to get stuck in your head.
You build a bridge here, Stevie, in the course of the book. You enable the reader to build a bridge between God himself and the music as a tool, you know, because a lot of the songs that you're talking about in the book are secular tunes.
Correct.
You know? Mm-hmm. And the neat thing about it, and I was sharing with you, I'm going to go to this chapter 33 because I love this. Now, again, listener, again, the title again of the book is A Song in My Heart, When Jesus Speaks Through Music. Mm-hmm. And it's really, a lot of it's just Stevie's witness to, in the song, what struck him that led him to Christ, that led him to the Word of God, that blessed him. Because a lot of secular music, it's not going to address Jesus Christ directly. It's not going to address the gospel in any expressed sort of way.
Right.
But that everything, God can use anything
yes,
in creation to bring a soul to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And for someone that's already in Christ, anything in creation, we can see Jesus and the truth of the gospel. So I was flipping through the, actually I went to the index, see how many songs do I know? And there was one that popped up, and it's one that I listened to a lot in the late 70s when it came out. I think, would you say Kansas?
Right.
Wrote this song, Dust in the Wind.
Now, oh, yeah.
Okay, now, anyone in our age range, our, I'm speaking of everybody in the studio, in their 70s, and of course Ed's surpassed that, but we just looked ahead for guidance and wisdom. I didn't hear it then, but but at any rate, and I used to listen to this song a lot, you know, and I would even got to know the words, right, when it came on the radio in the car. But when Stevie addresses this song, I'm just going to read this finally to you. This is what he writes. He says, now, if you remember Dust in the Wind, it's a very dystopian theme. You know, it's like we're worthless. We're just dust in the wind. I mean, basically, it was
right.
And that was a theme running through secular life in that day. Mm-hmm. And it was post-Vietnam.
Absolutely.
And all the negativity that came out of that. And our culture was in a lot of darkness. And so the songwriters were writing to that. Anyway, so if you remember the tune, then just listen. This is what Stevie writes. He says, there are moments when life feels like it slips through our fingers, when we realize how quickly time moves and how temporary everything seems. Dust in the Wind by Kansas speaks to that truth with haunting beauty and honesty. There's a line that sticks with you as you listen to the song. You may have sung along with it many times. At first, this line might sound sad or hopeless, but for a believer, and let me tell you, underscore that, if you're a believer, you see things differently. But for a believer, it's not a message of despair. It's a reminder of perspective. It echoes Scripture itself. Genesis 3:19 says, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. We're reminded that our time on this earth is short, our possessions fleeting, our accomplishments temporary. Yet, in that truth lies something powerful, a call to focus on what lasts forever. Ecclesiastes 1:2 states, tells us, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. But later in the same book, the writer concludes that true meaning comes only from God.
Mm.
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. That's Ecclesiastes 12:13. The song's melody feels like a gentle sigh, a moment of reflection when the noise of the world fades and we're left with what truly matters. The more we chase after temporary things, fame, wealth, recognition, the more we discover how fragile they are. But when we build our lives on Jesus, we build on a foundation that will never crumble.
Amen.
Psalm 103, verses 15 through 17, beautifully mirrors the song's theme. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and is gone. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. We are dust, yes, but beloved dust. God breathes his spirit into us, giving our lives eternal worth. What the world sees as temporary, God redeems as everlasting. The song doesn't end in sadness, it ends in awakening. It reminds us that we aren't meant to cling to what fades, but to invest in what lasts. Faith, hope, and love. When we realize our fragility, we can finally see God's strength.
Wow.
And that, all of Stevie's reflections on the music of life, that and that you get lifted up. And I think I was telling Stevie before we went on the air, so the one benefit of this book, as many, but the one benefit is you, the listener, you, the reader, you get this book and you read through it. You'll learn how to look at any piece of music that you're hearing, maybe one that you really enjoy.
Amen.
And look and find God in it. Find the meaning. You know, especially if you're into the Word and you are able to, you know, take that piece of music and wrap the word around it.
Yes.
You know, Stevie, this is an anointed piece of work here. This is a God working through you, man.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I'm listeners right now. I just want to encourage you to get it. We'll say the title more than once, but A Song in My Heart.
Yeah.
When Jesus Speaks Through Music by Stevie Suglia, and that's Suglia, is how he spells that. Well, anyway, so I've said a lot. It really should be talking. But speak out of your heart about this. What got you? I know it was God, but what did God do to get you to think about writing a book like this?
Well, it has to go back to the late 70s when I was a gopher on a radio station to get myself through college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My friend who I'd dedicated the book to, Tommy Hartman, he had a radio show out there called Religion and Rock.
Mm.
And he used to play the secular music for the teenagers and then talk about what it truly means, like Dust in the Wind or Only the Good Die Young by Billy Joel. And that. He wouldn't talk about what the lyrics were trying to say. He always taught me, close your eyes, get in with Jesus, and let him lead you to what the real meaning is of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what came to be. And I needed to write a song, write a book pertaining to that dedication. And then through my journaling in that, I heard from the Lord, I need to do a series of books.
Wow.
And each song, I didn't take from one particular genre, but I took from others, like a jingle or Spirit in the Sky, which is in the book too. It's a one-hit wonder, and then you have upbeat songs in there. But this book, I was spirit-led all the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just writing a boom, boom, boom type way or whatever. My wife would tell you, I don't know. She would say, I don't know how you sit there when we're watching TV and you're typing away.
But it's not really watching.
I'm tuned in. I'm spirit-led.
Yeah.
The Spirit is leading me to all this. But getting back in the late 70s, that's basically how I got started.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
I was led that way.
David made a statement. You may not remember it, and all you said just a little bit ago, and people wonder how you do things like that because you have a deeply intimate knowledge of the Scripture.
Yes.
And you can relate things in the secular world to the Scripture. And other people sitting out there that don't get into Scripture like they should sit back and say, well, how do they see that? I don't see that in there.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know the Scripture. You have to have an intimate knowledge of God's word in order to recognize his influence in the secular music.
That's right.
The very beginnings of having a born-again life, and the very beginnings of having a born-again life is spirit-led desire to get into the word of God.
Amen.
We must do that. God wants to speak to us through his word.
Amen.
This is a very fundamental means whereby we get to know God and his plan. His plan for creation, his plan for us.
Yep.
And so that's an encouragement. And I want to, I know if there's some listeners out there. I'm just going to say in my heart, God has said, right now you're hearing all this and you're saying to yourself, well, you know, I know I need to do that and I just haven't done it yet. And the devil wants you to feel bad about it. You know, that's immediately he's speaking, saying, well, you really feel like, you got to feel like crud now because you haven't done that.
And, yep.
Okay, so first of all, I tell the devil where he can go. He knows where he can go. He's going to be there forever.
He's going to be.
So he knows how to get there.
Yep.
Just tell him to go there, and you listen to the Lord whose love is calling you to simply embrace the obedience, the submission that you're called to in the very beginning. You accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You asked him to come in your life, and he did. He didn't wait. He said, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't.
No.
Because Scripture says when you do that, he will come.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit then will enter in you, and you will get passion to serve God, to know God, and to know yourself, and all those things.
Amen.
And getting into the Word of God is key. So rather than beat yourself over the head or let the devil do it, don't let the devil do that. Instead of beating yourself, letting yourself be beat over the head.
You can't let them.
Grab your Bible. Find opportunities to spend some time in the Word.
Right.
You have them. You just haven't scheduled them.
Right. Grab your Bible, whether it's hard copy or...
God leads us. He doesn't drive us.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. He leads us.
He leads us.
And he's leading. I know he's leading you, listener, right now to do that. And he will give you the opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what I'm being led to do is we're right at break time, and I'd rather not get into something deep and have to break.
Yeah.
So let's do that. Listener, I'm going to tell you, I'm thinking of you today. We have a little piece of music in here. We got three promos plus our frontline music that opens and closes the break time. And then Mercy Me's song, Word of God Speak.
Oh.
You notice the theme developing? So, and so this will be a little longer break, but I think you'll enjoy it.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you and in the quiet. Thank you. thing is, it's okay.
Hey, welcome back to the front line, and this is today the front line. We're talking about the work of God through in and through Stevie Suglia. And again, we're not going to exclude Penny, his wonderful wife and helpmate, because you know, she has done a great work in her own way to bless Stevie and support him, and yeah, to protect him. You know, so our wives are good at that. You know, I was thinking of the wounded, the wound. I saw that was a little video, probably AI, but the wolf family, right, the pack. And, The alpha male was wounded, and the females gathering around to protect him, you know, while he healed. But it's a great example of how, you know, godly wives do a tremendous work. That, and you often don't get enough credit. You really don't. And I'm going to try to correct that now, if I may, by thanking you for being faithful to the Lord and using your gifts to help Stevie. And, of course, in the mutuality of Christian marriage, as Stevie has done, the same for you. So
yeah, I pray for him.
I'll stop calling him fertilizer.
Right, yeah. Thank you, Ed.
You had to throw that back in there, Ed. Huh?
We did have a good laugh in the beginning of the program,
yeah,
though, which we needed that.
We did.
So back to the book, Stevie's current book, and we'll remind people that Stevie's first book, Stevie's Heart, Great Testimony of God Healing Him, really drawing him back from the edge of death. And then the two poetry books that are out there.
Amen.
And then now this book, A Song in My Heart, When Jesus Speaks Through Music. And he's taking specific tunes that you would mostly would recognize and really using them to look to discover Jesus in them,
right,
discover the gospel in them. And I was saying in the beginning, there's some secular tunes and there's some Christian tunes.
There's some spiritual songs. The Birds, if you remember their song, Turn, Turn, Turn.
Turn, Turn.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They turned that into a rock song, a classic. Many don't know it.
That's right.
It came from the scripture.
I didn't until I came to Christ. And I was reading Ecclesiastes 3.
Right.
Yes. Said,
and
that's
saying,
right.
Hey, I know that song. Yeah. There is a season. And I guess I could take that song and say, my season has changed. Now I'm writing books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still spreading his word. Maybe not spinning them. Maybe not spinning the music. But at least I'm spreading his word now through word.
Amen. Amen. And that's, you know, it's a great tool to do that.
Right.
And actually, you know, I'm going to invite, if people have a question for Stevie or a comment, you're welcome to call 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And pose your question. We have a little time for that. But getting back to this book, Stevie, because this, again, I told you before, I haven't read every book that's ever been printed, so you got to give me a little credit for that, but I have not seen anything like this particular work, and especially written by a Christian man.
True.
To both express what you are hearing and seeing in these songs, but also, and again, I said earlier, this is teaching the reader how to find Jesus in every piece of music you hear. And there's some that are extremely secular genres out there. I think of hip-hop, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't listen. There are some Christian hip-hop artists out there.
There's some Christian hip-hop out there, yes.
But if you listen to that particular, like, which I think personally, okay, I'm not going to give my opinion of it, but
That's okay. That's okay.
I don't find it listenable. Okay, it doesn't. I don't relate to it, but some people do.
So,
but if you do, and you're a Christian, and you may be listening to it, and maybe you say, "Well, maybe Stevie's book will help me to look beyond the lyrics,
right?"
Mm.
And not so much beyond the lyrics, but within the lyrics, and find Jesus
within.
Because that's what you're doing.
That's what I'm doing.
God isn't giving you an insight to look within the lyrics.
Right.
Yes.
Now, not many would look deep inside to try and find Jesus.
Yeah.
And that was the inspiration. That was another inspiration for to write this book. I mean, there's many songs in here. You'll see Gladys Knight, Billy Joel in here, Cool and the Gang. But it's not just, yeah, sure, the beats are good and all, but what's the deep meaning in there? What is Jesus trying to tell you?
And he will speak. This is the thing people don't realize. If you're listening for Jesus, he will find every means to speak to you, every means that's coming at you in the culture.
That's right.
Yes.
And so even read, you know, like newspapers don't exist much anymore. People go online like I do, and I don't read many of the secular news anyway. But
Well, you know, the scripture does say, and much of the secular music is evil.
Yeah.
But you can even in the evil stuff find meaning, scriptural meaning. That what scripture says, what the devil meant for evil, God will turn to good.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Yes, and that was first uttered by Joseph,
Amen.
Who had been sold into slavery by his brothers.
That's right.
They'd lived the lie for maybe a couple of decades, three decades, until they had to go to Egypt.
And Psalm 43, Psalm 40, verse 3, I put in the book, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. You know, he puts words to me that I can praise him and then share with the listener, the reader, you guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, music is a big part of
music is,
lifestyle.
If there's anything I could say about music, and certainly there's more than one thing. In seminary, I was trained to say a lot of things about a lot of things. But that music as a medium can and often does cut through the stuff that is hanging around your heart.
Right.
Yep.
You know, that whatever barriers, whatever is in the way of, you know, you, because we often do guard our hearts, right?
Yep.
But I found for this to be true for me, and I think it's true for all human beings, is that music does have a way of cutting through those shields and going right into our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, often the issue is, what is in the character of that music that's getting in your heart?
Mm, exactly.
You know? But I say too,
to the
listener, you know, first of all, I think there's an, I'm going to say from the Lord, I believe, the Lord is saying to us through this work, Stevie, saying, no matter what you listen to musically, I want you to look for me in it.
Mm.
And I'm giving you the tools to do that by exposing you. Go each chapter and you see how Stevie's approaching the content of the music. And then you begin to say after a while, hey, well, Lord, you guide me. This tune that I really like, I know it's very secular, and I'm a believer, but you know, what do I need to know about that tune?
Yeah.
And so prayer is a part of your approach.
Right.
Yes.
You're a man of prayer. You pray about these tunes. And then when God, whatever God gives you, then you put it down on paper, and often he's going to lead you to his word.
That's right.
Yeah.
So from prayer, you get into the word of God.
That's right.
And I think even if you're a hip-hop person, if that's your genre of music, and maybe the gangsta stuff that you're listening to, and maybe you're struggling with it, all right, well, take this approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to what I said earlier. When you bring these songs up in there, you're also bringing up the scripture.
Correct.
And that's what I was saying earlier. If you don't know the scripture, you're not going to recognize Jesus in these songs.
That's right. And
so you're proving that by including the scripture in there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I put portion of a verse in there for each song. And then after each chapter, I have reflection for the reader.
Amen.
That's right. I love that part.
Yeah.
You get a chance really then to be with the Lord.
Right.
And what you've read thus far, the scriptures you've taken in, and just open your heart to the Lord and listen to him. What is he saying
questions
about this?
And where I ask the readers questions, it will have them think, hey, this is a different approach to me listening to the song.
Yeah.
Or it's not just the beat or just singing along. there's more of a deeper meaning.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus does speak to you through music.
Yes, he does.
You just got to listen to
that. My wife loves music. She just loves music.
Really?
And yes. She needs to read that book. I need to read that book, too. But
we will
I
get you copies.
She will appreciate it very much.
We will get you copies.
I was just reminded of something, and I want to share it with you and the leaders, the readers, the listeners who are also readers. Way back, soon after I met the Lord in 1976, I was in a prayer group led by a dear friend of mine. And he had a guest come in one night who brought his guitar with him. And his name was John Corneal. Okay. Most people probably don't remember John, but if you remember the Flying Burrito Brothers, which was a rock group in the 70s, right? And John was their first drummer.
Okay.
And he shared his testimony. I can only remember pieces of it. But I mention this because John at that time was famous in the world. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't care to know the Lord. He had gotten involved with a group that was rising. You know, they had a great fan base. And even though maybe you don't remember the Flying Burrito Brothers, but back then they were pretty hot for the season that they were on, you know, on stage. And he was their first drummer, like I said. But the pressures of fame, as you find in many of these people, they turn to drugs and alcohol. And so John did that. But the Lord, in all of that, John grew up in a God-loving family.
Mm-hmm.
In Central Florida, I believe. And that part I'm not totally sure of, but that's where his family was when I met him. But God got a hold of John, and in part, it was in dealing with the music that they were producing, and that some of his struggles were coming from the content of that music. And I mean, ended up, I don't have the bulk of his testimony in my memory, but what came out of that is he met the Lord out of his frustration with the genre that they were in, the content of the music, and just the whole lifestyle that they were.
Yeah.
And he eventually left that. He left the band and eventually left that and started doing Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think, I don't know what I've seen him. He's still around, but I don't know exactly what he's doing. But point was, is that it was God grabbed a hold of him in the midst of his music, what he was doing and what he was writing. Right. He wrote some songs and stuff, and how they're performing it in the content, which disturbed him. But he met the Lord in the midst of that, and he encountered Jesus. He got saved. He got born again. And then he got into the Word of God, and that, of course, enabled him to write and produce and perform godly music.
That's like the singer Dion Timucci from the Belmonts.
Belmonts, yeah.
Right. He was a big star, and all of a sudden, drugs and everything took over his life until he got the Lord.
Singing at you for yelling.
Sing, but
yeah.
I love music.
I'll take my eyes off.
I sing in the key of R.
King of R, okay. Part of it I wrote, every morning is a gift. Each sunrise is God's way of saying, you have another chance to love, to forgive, to grow. The song's cheerful spirit reminds us not to rush past that miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to embrace each day, whether you've had a bad night whether the start to the day is bad, you have to give thanks to the Lord.
Yep. Amen.
In the morning when you wake up.
Doesn't Paul say, is it in Philippians, to give thanks to God in all circumstances?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Which, you know, it's easy when things are going well, but when things are not going well,
right,
we don't think to give God thanks because God has a bigger plan than that moment.
Amen.
You're in.
Yeah.
And then I reference that song in chapter to Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Glad in it.
To me, that's what the song was about.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not what the rascals may have thought it to be, but this is, but that's what I take it as. And that's what I'm sharing with everybody.
Yeah, I think
every day is a gift.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's why we call it the present.
Yeah. That's right.
It truly is.
And I
believe that this work that you've done, that God's given you to do daily, will enable us to just have appreciation for that part of our life that is involved in music.
Yeah.
It looks beyond the lyrics. Or rather, if I said, look within the lyrics, and you'll find Jesus there.
Right.
We need to do that.
Kind of like what my pastor says. When you're trying to write a long Bible verse, they put up on the screen for them. Take it one word at a time and read it slow.
Right.
Take the Bible verse, read it slow. Not just read what is pertinent in your life. Read before and after.
Yes.
And then ask the Lord what he's really trying to tell you.
And that's a technique that we should apply when we get another word.
Right.
At all times.
Have you ever heard of Bogie Malcolm? He's a Baptist minister. He's on past recently. Fantastic guy. I love his teaching. He said, if you really want to know what God's plan is for your life, read the scripture. If you want to hear God's voice, read it out loud.
Mm.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. In fact, the teaching, one of the teachings that I heard a long time ago was to read. Don't just read it in your mind, but speak the word of God out loud.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
And there's a lot of power in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At my little congregation, these are all 55 and over people. I always put the Testament, New Testament, Old Testament Psalms. I put them up on the screen on PowerPoint, so they can read them, they can see them, and they can get them deeply within their spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and it really seemed that people told me they really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because by the time they fumbled through a Bible to go to the scripture I'm quoting,
right,
said, we can't get to it.
By the time you get to it, you're right. Yeah.
What you just said earlier, and it's an incentive and an encouragement for people to not just scan or skip through the Bible, skip read. You know, oh, I've read the Bible, Hank. Check that box.
Yeah, check that off. Yeah.
But it's better to spend some time with a verse or two than try to cram in a couple of chapters.
Right.
You know, now sometimes you may need, God wants you to cover that. But when you're praying and you're meditating on the scripture, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
I'm going to say, Stevie, in fact, when I get my personal copy of the book, in fact, this is Ann's, but she loaned it to me.
Thanks, Ann.
We appreciate that.
Amen.
And that maybe you'll inscribe it something.
Yes, I will.
But I'm going to incorporate this into my daily devotions because I've got YouTube music on my phone. So I can go in there and call up any of these tunes.
Yes.
And listen to them. And I have time in my devotion. I hope you have time in yours, listener. You know, I'm going to do 15 minutes, God. Yeah. You should be happy with that. Well, spend a little more time. But to incorporate that as part of my devotional time.
Right.
Yes.
Listen to the music,
that's
read
good.
And then listen to God for myself.
In fact, that's what my wife did.
Oh, yeah.
When she was reading the book, she said, wait a minute, I know that song, but let me pull up the song anyway.
Okay.
The lyrics, sing along.
Yeah, I did.
And then,
Now, this is, you have other plans. This is a series of books.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about the vision for the series. We have a few more minutes.
My vision is to do several more books like this. I have one in the works now about worship music.
Okay.
That should be ready for publishing in about a month.
Okay,
so
wow.
Something like that or less. Depends on which way the Lord wants to lead.
Sure.
But then I'll go back to the secular songs again. There's going to be a series of plenty of them.
Wow.
plenty of them. Yeah.
Even Christmas songs, what they mean to me. Not the Christmas hymns, not just the Christmas hymns we hear at church, but other secular Christmas music.
Yeah. And I'm still trying to find Jesus in Jingle Bells.
You know what? If you pray about it enough, God will show you.
I know he's coming back with the trumpet, but...
I think it's Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way. And jingle is a musical
sound. Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
There you go. See?
See, the technique's already working. Yeah. And we go all the way with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. No, this is Stevie, this is a tremendous resource.
Thank you.
It's spirit-led, and I really do encourage people. Again, the title, maybe you now just got to the point you can write it down, A Song in My Heart, When Jesus Speaks Through Music by Stevie Suglia, S-U-G-L-A-A. Available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Noble.com, right?
BarnesandNoble.com, and eventually it'll be on Ed's coffee table.
And it's in the works. We're working to get this book in the Barnes & Noble stores.
Okay, so, yeah, in the stores. And, yeah, that'd be great.
Just to touch base, I know I told you quick as to, I know we're pressed for time, but with Stevie's Heart, I just want to tell everybody out there, 700 Club is going to do a lead feature about my medical story and that book.
Yep.
So people look out.
That'll be an awesome opportunity for that witness to
that's right.
get millions of people.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
That's what's well, see God's
in this. Touch.
Yep.
You know, and I guess maybe as we always do and often do on this program, the vision for the program was not just to bring people in ministry to you, the listener, but the front line is also where you're standing right now. And you're a believer, you're born again, you got the Spirit of God in you, and maybe you are pursuing the ministry God called you to do. Praise God if you are. But if you're not, it may be at a point of indecision, you know, and or maybe you've just come to Christ and you've just gotten into the Word and you're getting this yearning and you don't know what to do with it. But God has a ministry for you.
That's right.
And you know, He's already given you the gifts to do that ministry.
Right.
What He wants you to do is be prayerful, meditative, listen to Him, let Him guide you. As you submit to Him, then He will tell you what you need to do.
Right.
We pray also you're in a God-honoring, Bible-believing church that is encouraging people in ministry. And then while you're doing it, this book is also a great book for you to learn about how to approach common everyday events, resources in your life, and see Jesus in the midst of them.
Yes,
Stevie,
amen.
Peggy, thank you for being here with us.
Amen. Thank you guys
tremendous,
for having me.
Tremendous work. I know you'll be back. And I also, we need to pray that the budget for the Library of Congress will increase because there's going to be more people working up there because of all the work you're doing.
Amen.
And Ed, you got any last words? We got about a minute. Maybe less.
Maybe believe it or not, I am speechless.
Well, this is amazing. Folks, we got to know this. Maybe one of the signs, Jesus is coming soon. Because Ed doesn't have anything more to say.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. Well, we've managed to eat up that time.
Well,
it's done. We're done.
And just be yourself. Everybody else is taken.
For everybody. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
God bless you all. We'll be back next week. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.